Good morning, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started. Last spring, we started a study on the festivals, the Moedim, the appointed times that God laid forth in his scriptures in the Old Testament. And in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 2, God spoke to Moses and he said, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies." So God established seven festivals or feasts that he says you need to do these every time each year, because according to each one of them, they have a different meaning, they have a different revelation and a remembrance of what God has already done and what he is going to do. And as you study these, we see that they are not just for the Israelites for a certain time. It is for now as well. They are still relevant. And these are the Moedim. The spring festivals is Passover or Pesach. And it represented the delivery of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. But it also talks about the Messiah who is to come and that he will deliver people from the bondage of sin and death. Then we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which means the Israelites were not to have any leaven, which represents sin in their lives. They were to completely get rid of it. And that we will have a deliverer, a Messiah coming that will have no leaven, no sin in him. He will be sinless. The Feast of First Fruits happens to be the day that Jesus was resurrected from the cross, from the dead. Then we have the festival of weeks. In the Greek, it's called Pentecost. It is the day that the law was given to the Israelites on Mount Sinai. It is also the day that the Holy Spirit was given to the new church in Jerusalem. Then we have and move on to the fall festivals. And those are the ones that we're going to study today. The fifth festival is the festival or the Feast of Trumpets. The Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And those are the ones that we're going to be covering today. The Moedim reveal God's plan of redemption. So basically, God created man. Man disobeyed and was separated from his creator. God created a plan to redeem man so that they could be restored in relationship. And these festivals talk about his plan of redemption on how he's going to restore his people back to himself. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16 says, "Three times a year, all of your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, at the festival of weeks, and the festival of tabernacles." So there were three of them out of the seven where they had to go to Jerusalem. They had to go to the temple to worship God during these times. There was only three of them. So we're going to take a look at the Festival of Trumpets. And I'm going to use a term today. I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible mainly, but I'm also going to give you some traditional Judaism, because those are the things that you see on your calendars. You'll see it like Hanukkah or Rosh Hashanah, or different words, Yom Kippur, and those are terms that are used today. I'm going to give you the original biblical terms and then tie those in with the traditional Judaism. So the Festival of Trumpets traditional Judaism is Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah simply means head of the year. This is where it kind of gets a little bit complicated. So this is the Jewish New Year. But if you look in the scriptures, God said this is to be the first month of your new year. And it is in the springtime when Passover happens and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Traditional Judaism has made this their Jewish New Year. So you have a biblical calendar and then you have a civil calendar. So Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah is their new year according to their civil calendar. In Leviticus 23, verse 24, say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated by trumpet blasts. All right, so this is God saying, on the first day of the seventh month, your biblical year, you are to have a sacred assembly, do no work, a Shabbat, and you are to sound the trumpets. So in the seventh month, on the first day, we have Rosh Hashanah, or the festival of trumpets begins. Then there is 10 days to the Day of Atonement on the 10th day, and we're going to look at that. And then 5 days later is the festival or the Feast of Tabernacles. So between the sounding of the trumpet on the first day of the seventh month, the Feast of Trumpets, and the 10th day, the Day of Atonement, they have what traditional Judaism calls the 10 days of awe, or the 10 days of repentance. So the sound of the trumpet that is blown on the first day is a call for the people to come and begin to look at their lives. And it is a call and a warning to come to repentance. So the Feast of Trumpets happens. They blow the horn for 10 days. You are to seek God. You're to make your relationships right with other people and get right with God, because the Day of Atonement is coming. So those are the 10 days of awe. The blowing of the trumpets on the first day of the month heralded a solemn time of preparation for the Day of Atonement. The trumpet sound was also an alarm as a call to introspection and repentance. It was a time where they got serious and sought the face of God. And in traditional Judaism, the whole month leading up to the seventh month, during the sixth month, you were getting ready and preparing yourself spiritually for the days that were to come, which was announced by the blowing of the shofar or the trumpets. We also see in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, that the trumpets also will announce the day of the Lord. When it says in the Old Testament, the day of the Lord, it means judgment day. And Joel 2, 1 says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. So the prophets were saying, during this time, when the trumpets are blown, it is a warning, and it will usher in judgment day. We also read in the New Testament that it is to announce the second coming of our Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So not only was it to kick off days of repentance, 10 days of awe, it will also be sounded for the second coming of the Lord. And it will also be a sound for when the day of judgment has arrived. So the Feast of Trumpets was very, very important, but it's hard to find much about it. You see, the shofar or the trumpets were sounded for different reasons in the Old Testament. They were sounded as a call to repentance. They were sounded as a call of warning for the city. There were different blasts that meant different things, but they were all very, very important. And the people needed to know what that trumpet sound meant. So the Festival of Trumpets every year was to call the people of Israel back to God. A time of introspection, a time of self-examination, and a time of repentance. because the Day of Atonement was coming. Each of the judgments in Revelation 8 and 9 is also signaled by a trumpet. Just as the shofar called the Jewish nation to turn their attention to the Lord and ready themselves for the Day of Atonement, so will the trump of God call us to heaven and warn the world of coming judgment. So usually the trumpets meant warning. Something is about to happen. So we're going to move on to the Day of Atonement. So we got the first day of the seventh month is the feast, a festival of trumpets. We move through the 10 days of awe, and then we get to the Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement is called Yom Kippur. That's what will be on your calendar, on your phone, or whatever. That's what it's going to say. But it is the Day of Atonement. And we're going to look at how important the Day of Atonement was in the Old Testament. Leviticus 23:27. It says, the 10th day of the seventh month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. In Leviticus chapter 16, verses 2 through 10, I'm going to read out of the NASB. It says, the Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, or he will die. This is right after Aaron's sons were killed by God because they had offered profane fire. They did things, they were doing things the way they wanted to do them instead of the way that God said. And so he's telling Moses, tell Aaron that he can't do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it when it comes to my tabernacle. You have to do things the way that I have told you to do them. Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen tunic, and the linen undergarment shall be next to his body. And he shall be girded with the linen sash and attired with the linen turban. These are holy garments. Then he shall bathe his body in water and put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the sons of Israel 2 male goats for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. Then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and his household. So God is saying, first and foremost, Aaron needs to cleanse himself for himself. For himself and for his family. And then he says, he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Aaron shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Then Aaron shall offer the goat on which the lot for the Lord fell and make it a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to send it into the wilderness as the scapegoat. The term there is Azazel, I believe. And in some translations of your Bible, it says the goat will be sent into the wilderness of Azazel. Azazel means, it's 2 root words, and it means goat that is sent away. So that's where we get that term scapegoat. Oh, you're going to be the scapegoat. You're going to be the one whose all the sins are placed onto that one, and then he will suffer the consequences for that. That's where we get that term. Verse 17, when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, no one shall be in the tent of meeting until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. Verses 21 and 22. Then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to a solitary land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. So what they would do is they had 2 goats. They would cast lots. One goat was to be offered up as a blood sacrifice to God. The other one was going to be that which they could put all of the sins of Israel onto and send it out of the city. It was bearing the sins and taking away the sins of the people. It's very interesting that when Jesus was crucified, he was in the city when he was being beaten and stripped and bludgeoned, but he was led out of the city when he was killed, which is kind of an interesting picture of the Old Testament scapegoat being led out of the city with all the sins placed upon it. And when you left a goat in the wilderness by itself, it did not last very long. With nothing there to protect it, it was easy prey for whatever. But it's just a interesting picture of God, of Jesus identifying himself with this goat. Verses 29 through 31. This shall be a permanent statute for you. In the seventh month and on the tenth day of the month, you shall humble your souls and do not do any work, whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is to be the Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. You see, the fall holidays prophetically indicate the great day of the Lord. It also indicates the second coming of the Messiah and the establishment of the reign of the Messiah over the earth during the millennial kingdom. Between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, the 10 days of awe, in traditional Judaism, states that every person's judgment will occur on the Day of Atonement, and that the 10 days of awe will determine whether or not their name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is interesting. So there is a period between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. Those 10 days of awe are the days that decide whether or not your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation 21, verse 27, and it's talking about heaven, it says, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So this fall festivals was a very, very important time. In fact, it was so important that they called the festival of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Tabernacles, they simply referred to it as the Feast. It was so huge. And remember, it's one where everyone had to gather in Jerusalem according to God's word. In Leviticus 23, verses 34 through 36, say to the Israelites, and now I'm talking about the Festival of Tabernacles. It's also called Sukkot, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. But it says, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month of the Lord's Festival of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do no regular work. For 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord. And on the eighth day, hold a sacred assembly and present a food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special assembly. Do no work. So remember, this is in the fall. This is the harvest of all of the fruits. And so what God has blessed them with, they are to bring to Jerusalem and offer as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And remember that the Feast of Tabernacles happens 5 days after the Day of Atonement. So to be able to bring those things to the tabernacle or to the temple meant that you were in right standing with God. And it was a celebration of God's people saying, we have repented, we have been restored back to God, our sins have been forgiven, and now there is a huge celebration. And remember that the Feast of Tabernacles and the Festival of Trumpets also talks about the Day of Judgment and the millennial reign of Jesus and the eternal kingdom. So they represent all of those things. If you want to learn more about the sacrifices, in Numbers 29, God says, every day, this is what you were to do. On the first day, you were to offer this, you were to offer this, you were to offer this. And if you read through that list, it's amazing the requirements that God had for them to offer during this feast or this festival. The Sukkot simply means a temporarily built hut. The Sukkot are used to remember the small, hastily built huts that the Israel lived in during their 40-year sojourn in the wilderness after the Exodus from Egypt. So there, it is to be a reminder. The Feast of Tabernacles is to be a reminder of what God did and how he took care of them in their huts during the 40 years. Traditional Judaism, they still build those today. If you go into certain areas of Israel or certain Jewish communities, you will see these kind of little shacks. And they have their meals, they eat their meals in these shacks. So for 7 days that they follow, according to the scriptures, the temporary building of little huts as a remembrance of how God took care of their ancestors in the wilderness. But there's also a meaning. Tabernacle, the word tabernacle means to dwell or to dwell in. And in Exodus 29, verses 44 and 45, God is speaking to Moses, and he says, "So I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God." That was always his heart. He wanted to dwell with his people. He wanted to tabernacle with his people. And he says, and when they were building the tent of meeting, the original, not the temple, but the tent of meeting, a mishkan, he says, "This will be consecrated, it will be set apart, and I will tabernacle with my people." So not only does it represent the huts that they built, but it also represents God's presence in the original tent of meeting, where he would dwell with his people. In 1 Kings 8, verses 1-2, it says, "Then King Solomon summoned into his presence at Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes and the chiefs of the Israelite families, to bring up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Zion, the city of David. All the Israelites came together to King Solomon at the time of the festival in the month of Ethanim, the seventh month." So Solomon has been building this temple for God. And God says, "Okay, in the seventh month, that is when I'm going to enter into that temple." What's going on in the seventh month? The Festival of Trumpets. God says, "I'm going to tabernacle with my people," and he does it at the time of the festival in the seventh month. What festival is that? Festival of Trumpets. In 1 Kings 8:6, it says, "Then the priest then brought the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim." In verse 10, it says, when the priest withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. So we see God tabernacling with his people, dwelling with his people in the Old Testament during the seventh month of the biblical year. We see that the second coming, the Christ, the Messiah, is going to happen during the Festival of Trumpets. We see that the Day of Atonement, the Judgment Day, is going to happen during the festival or the Feast of Trumpets. You see a pattern here? God shows up, enters into his tabernacle. God shows up, enters into the temple. God is going to show up and judge during the same period of time. Okay? So there's a pattern here, is there not? I believe that God reveals these things to us so that he can reveal his plan. And this is just me. But if God showed up in the tabernacle and in the temple, and then he's going to send his son for the second coming during the Festival of Trumpets, I believe that Jesus was born during the Feast of Trumpets and the Festival of Tabernacles. That's just my, it makes sense, does it not? And it's interesting, in John 1:14, NASB, it says, and it's talking about Jesus, the Messiah, and the Word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. I believe Jesus showed up during the Feast of Tabernacles, which makes sense. Why was he in Jerusalem to begin with, or in Bethlehem to begin with? That was his birth. He was there because of a census. And if you're going to have a very good census, aren't you going to want to count when people are showing up according to their scriptures? So I believe the census coincided with the Feast of Trumpets and that he was born during that time. Sukkot represents, or the Feast of Tabernacles represents, the time of restored fellowship with the Lord. Feast of Tabernacles is the celebration, the thanking God for what he has done, thanking God for the provisions, for the blessings in their lives. It also fast forward to the great banquet table of the Lord. Remember when Jesus, during the Passover Seder, he drank three cups of wine, and then he held the fourth one up, and he says, I will not drink this cup until we are in my Father's kingdom, where I will drink it with you. I believe this is when that fourth cup is raised during the Festival of Tabernacles, because it is a celebration of God with all of his people who have repented, who have come back to him, who have been restored to him. And that fourth cup will be raised. You see, what's very interesting, I checked out the dates of when these things are going to happen. How long ago was it when I said I wanted to do the prayer on September 18th? It was more than that. A month or so at least. I just felt God say, I want you to come together in a time of prayer on that Friday night before we do our kickoff. And I didn't get any sort of inkling as to what's the direction, except that it was a time of getting and coming before God, repenting and seeking him. That's all I got. Well, the Feast of Trumpets this year starts on Friday, September 18th, which just gives me goosebumps. But so that kicks off the Feast of Trumpets, and then we have the 10 days of awe, and then the Day of Atonement is Sunday, September 27th, and the Feast of Tabernacles will begin on Friday, October 2nd. So I just feel in my heart that God is speaking to us during this time. I truly believe that the fulfillment of everything that has been written, and I'm not saying it's this year, but it will happen during the fall festivals. The culmination of everything that God has laid out is going to take place during the fall. And it's interesting that Jesus says, you will know the season, but you will not know the day. Well, the fall festivals takes place in a season. A season where God has his trumpet blown, calls his people to repentance and back to himself, to the Day of Atonement, and then the fall Feast of Tabernacles. See, I think we need to take to heart what God has said in his scriptures. And when God said this is to be an everlasting covenant or statute, he did not say until I send my son and then get rid of them. You see, Paul said, when he talks about the Passover, the communion that we did today, he says, I am passing on to you what I received from the Lord. And if the Passover didn't stop with Jesus, why would any of these other things stop? I think it's God's word to us. I believe he said, do these on a regular basis every year so that you don't forget. That's why I do the Passover Seder every single spring, so that we don't forget that this is God's plan for redemption. And as believers, we are a part of this plan. So my prayer to you, I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. My prayer for you and as a body is that we would heed the season that we are in. That we would set aside time to renew our relationships with God. Especially in the culture that we're living in now. I believe God has sent out his warnings, and I believe that we are in a season of a call to repentance, looking inwardly, seeing where we're at. David says, you know, Lord, search me. Search me. See if there's anything in me. And if there is, let me know so that I may be right with you. That's my prayer for myself and my prayer for my family here at New Hope Christian Center, is that we would hear the trumpets, heed the trumpets, discern the times that we're in, and know that we are not to have a spirit of fear. See, God always gives us a chance to come back to him, to repent. I believe that this is a call to the church, not just us, but the church. A call to repentance, a call to get back. The church has wandered. The church has allowed a lot of garbage to infiltrate it, to become a lot of things that it is what God never intended it to be. And this is a season of coming back. This is a season of looking inward and asking God, Lord, search me. I invite you to come on Friday night, that September 18th. I honestly cannot tell you what's going to happen, because it's going to be led by the Holy Spirit. There may be some things happen that you've never seen before. And if God wants to do a new thing, I'm not going to stand in his way. But I want you to take this time leading up to September 18th to be in prayer and to be listening to that still, small voice, which means you're going to have to shut out the clutter and the garbage that we live in today. Set aside time to seek him and to hear from him so that we can go forward fully prepared to do what God has called us to do in these times. Amen. Please stand.
Don't worry, I'm not hijacking. Jim asked me to close. As Jim was speaking, I was, you know, he was saying the dates, and I looked them up because I didn't quite catch them. And I looked up, and I saw that the Feast of Trumpets, it starts on September 18th. And how the Jewish people usually do their holidays is they start at sunset. So at sunset on September 18th is when the Feast of Trumpets starts. And just for my own curiosity, I looked up when sunset was going to be for Spokane on September 18th. And it's estimated between 6:54 and 7 o'clock. So if we don't think that God is speaking to us, we're crazy. You may just be thinking, well, that's just a coincidence. But I got to tell you, I don't believe in coincidences when it comes to the things of God. There are no coincidences with God, okay? And I know it's easy when Jim's speaking and we're thinking to ourselves, why do we care about these Jewish festivals? Why do we care what they did in the Old Testament? It has nothing to do with us. It does. It has everything to do with us. Because like Jim has said many times, we are grafted into that family of God. We are grafted into the Jewish side, the Jewish tree. We belong to that same God. And he is doing all these things for us to see and for us to know what his plan is. Amen? So again, we'll just send the invite. Come on September 18th. Come on September 18th and let's join together corporately in prayer as we remember how great our God is. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that everything that you want us to know about who you are is written in your book, God. We thank you that you speak to us today, that we can dive into your word and know more about your character, know more about your plan. And God, I just pray that we wouldn't take that for granted, that we wouldn't take your word for granted, God, because it is living and it is the truth. And Lord, as we enter into this fall time, as we enter into this fall festival time, I pray that we wouldn't just cast them aside and think, oh, that's just a Jewish thing. I pray that we would apply it to our own lives as Christians, that we would remember, God, that you do give us a warning, God, that you do want to call us back to repentance, God, that there will be a day of atonement. But Lord, there will also be a day of a great feast, a great banquet that we can all rejoice in. And I pray that everyone in here would want their name written in that book of life. God, if there's people here that do not know you, I pray that this message would tug at their hearts and that they would want to know you. Lord, you are so great and so mighty. And I pray that we would remember all that you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.